Section 3 instruction afforded by the consideration that life is a journey, or pilgrimage, towards heaven. 1. This doctrine may teach us moderation in our mourning for the loss of such dear friends, who, while they lived, improved their lives to right purposes. If they lived a holy life, then their lives were a journey towards heaven. And why should we be immoderate in mourning, when they are got to their journey's end? Death, though it appears to us with a frightful aspect, is to them a great blessing. Their end is happy, and better than their beginning. The day of their death is better to them than the day of their birth. While they lived, they desired heaven, and chose it above this world, or any of its enjoyments. For this they earnestly longed, and why should we grieve that they have obtained it? Now they have got to their Father's house. They find more comfort 1,000 times, now they are got home, than they did in their journey in this world. They underwent much labor and toil. It was a wilderness they passed through. There were many difficulties in the way, mountains and rough places. It was laborious and fatiguing to travel the road, and they had many wearisome days and nights. But now they have got to their everlasting rest. And I heard a voice from heaven, saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. They look back upon the difficulties, and sorrows, and dangers of life, rejoicing that they have surmounted them all. We are ready to look upon death as their calamity, and to mourn that those who were so dear to us should be in the dark grave, that they are there transformed to corruption and worms, taken away from their dear children and enjoyments, etc., as though they were in awful circumstances. But this is owing to our infirmity. They are in a happy condition, inconceivably blessed. They do not mourn, but rejoice with exceeding joy. Their mouths are filled with joyful songs, and they drink at rivers of pleasure. They find no mixture of grief, that they have changed their earthly enjoyments, and the company of mortals, for heaven. Their life here, though in the best circumstances, was attended with much that was adverse and afflictive, but now there is an end to all adversity. They shall hunger no more, nor thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. It is true, we shall see them no more in this world, yet we ought to consider that we are traveling towards the same place. And why should we break our hearts that they have got there before us? We are following after them, and hope, as soon as we get to our journey's end, to be with them again, in better circumstances. A degree of mourning for near relations when departed is not inconsistent with Christianity, but very agreeable to it. For as long as we are our flesh and blood, we have animal propensities and affections. But we have just reason that our mourning should be mingled with joy. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others that have no hope, i.e., that they should not sorrow as the heathen, who had no knowledge of a future happiness. This appears by the following verse. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. 2. If our lives ought to be only a journey towards heaven, how ill do they improve their lives, that spend them in traveling towards hell? Some men spend their whole lives, from their infancy to their dying day, in going down the broad way to destruction. They not only draw nearer to hell as to time, but they every day grow more ripe for destruction. They are more assimilated to the inhabitants of the infernal world. While others press forward in the straight and narrow way to life, and laboriously travel up the hill towards Zion, against the inclinations and tendency of the flesh, these run with a swift career down to eternal death. This is the employment of every day, with all wicked men. And the whole day is spent in it. As soon as ever they awake in the morning, they set out anew in the way to hell, and spend every waking moment in it. They begin in early days. The wicked are estranged from the womb, they go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. They hold on it with perseverance. Many of them who live to be old are never weary in it. Though they live to be 100 years old, they will not cease traveling in the way to hell, till they arrive there. And all the concerns of life are subordinated to this employment. A wicked man is a servant of sin. His powers and faculties are employed in the service of sin, and in fitness for hell. And all his possessions are so used by him as to be subservient to the same purpose. Men spend their time in treasuring up wrath against the day of wrath. Thus do all unclean persons, who live in lascivious practices in secret. All malicious persons. All profane persons, that neglect the duties of religion. Thus do all unjust persons. And those who are fraudulent and oppressive in their dealings. Thus do all backbiters and revilers. All covetous persons, that set their hearts chiefly on the riches of this world. Thus do tavern haunters, and frequenters of evil company. And many other kinds that might be mentioned. Thus the bulk of mankind are hasting on in the broad way to destruction, which is, as it were, filled up with the multitude that are going in it with one accord. And they are every day going into hell out of this broad way by thousands. Multitudes are continually flowing down into the great lake of fire and brimstone, as some mighty river constantly disembogues its water into the ocean. 3. Hence when persons are converted, they do but begin their work, and set out in the way they have to go. They never till then do anything at that work in which their whole lives ought to be spent. Persons before conversion never take a step that way. Then does a man first set out on his journey, when he is brought home to Christ. And so far is he from having done his work, that his care and labor in his Christian work and business is then but begun, in which he must spend the remaining part of his life. Those persons do ill, who when they are converted, and have obtained a hope of their being in a good condition, do not strive as earnestly as they did before, while they were under awakenings. They ought, henceforward, as long as they live, to be as earnest and laborious, as watchful and careful, as ever. Yea, they should increase more and more. It is no just excuse, that now they have obtained conversion. Should not we be as diligent that we may serve and glorify God, as that we ourselves may be happy? And if we have obtained grace, yet we ought to strive as much that we may obtain the other degrees than are before, as we did to obtain that small degree that is behind. The Apostle tells us, that he forgot what was behind, and reached forth towards what was before. Yea, those who are converted, have now a further reason to strive for grace. For they have seen something of its excellency. A man who has once tasted the blessings of Canaan, has more reason to press towards it, than he had before. And they who are converted, should strive to make their calling and election sure. All those who are converted are not sure of it. And those who are sure, do not know that they shall be always so. And still seeking and serving God with the utmost diligence, is the way to have assurance, and to have it maintained.